Les Standiford is a historian and author. Since 1985, Les has been a professor of English at Florida International University and director of their creative writing program. You may know Les from his popular John Deal crime novels, but today we'll speak with Les about his newest history, Water to the Angels, William Mulholland, his monumental aqueduct, and the rise of Los Angeles. Les attended the Air Force Academy, Columbia University School of Law, and he holds a BA in psychology and an MA and PhD in literature and creative writing. Les spent 20 years in the West, working at times for the U.S. Forestry Department, the Utah Parks Company, and the U.S. Park Service. He is a former screenwriting fellow and graduate of the American Film Institute in L.A. Among his many awards are the Frank O'Connor Award for Short Fiction and a National Endowment for the Arts Fellowship in Fiction. Welcome, Les. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the Book Report.
Pleasure to be here.
What drew you to the story of William Mulholland?
I went to California when I was a kid and stood up on Mulholland Drive one night and looked out over the sprawl of lights to the north and to the south, and I said, how on earth did a place like this ever come to be? And never really thought I would write a book about it, but that question stayed with me for a long time. I was a kid from the sticks in Ohio, and I never got over that initial amazement. I've always been drawn to a story that people might think they know a little about, but that my research suggests to me that they don't know the whole story there. And that's a Mulholland story is one of those, particularly, I think, owing to the great success of that classic movie, Chinatown, which uses some of the background of the California water wars, and yet it's a fictional story. It plays fast and loose with the facts. And I ran across a chance comment by Robert Town saying, you know, the real story behind Chinatown is just as good as the fictional one that we made up. I wish I could have told it. And that comment stuck with me, and my fascination with California and that comment of Towns led me to do some research, and that's what's really resulted in this book.
Mulholland was not a formerly trained engineer, and he readily admitted, I learned the three R's and the Ten Commandments, received my father's blessing, and here I am. So how did he ascend to be the chief of LA's water department?
Hard work, honesty, confidence, vision, I think, more than anything. And he loved the place. He, early on, went to work for what was a private company. The Los Angeles Water Company was a private concern, and he worked for the individuals who owned it. Always complained that they diverted more money to dividends than to infrastructure of this system. Mulholland did, and got a job as a ditch digger in 1877, shortly after he'd come to Los Angeles when there were about 9,000 people there, if you can imagine. William Mulholland in life was a contemporary, to place him in context, was a contemporary of Wyatt Earp. How far back we're going. And he only outlived Earp by, I think, 5 or 6 years. Anyway, he went to work for the water company as a ditch digger, worked himself up, became superintendent of that company by the late 1880s. And then about 15 years after that, the city finally decided that it needed to be in control of its own water supply, bought the private water company, and brought William Mulholland along with it because he was acknowledged as the man who knew everything there was to know about water in that very dry part of the country.
So tell us about Mulholland and his role in the creation of the aqueduct.
There was a former mayor of Los Angeles named Fred Eaton, who'd been floating the idea to take a river that he had run across in north central California on the east side of the Sierras, the Owens, in the Owens Valley, to bring it down around Death Valley, is where Eaton really saw his community centered. And when water became a real issue in L.A. in the late 90s, Eaton was boosting this plan to tap this river to anyone who would listen, but nobody really took him seriously. Nobody thought it could be possible. Finally, when things got to a crisis stage, Mulholland went to Eaton and said, "Show me this water you've been talking about for the past decade." And they took a legendary buckboard trip. It's said that you could follow their trail by the glint of the whiskey bottles on their buckboard in the end of the moonlight. And Mulholland saw this river and 250 miles, stood on its bank about 250 miles away from downtown L.A. after riding 4 days up there and said, "You know, Fred, I think this can be done." And with a pocket compass and an aneroid barometer, he laid out in the next couple of months the line, engineered the line that would take a river from the Owens Valley of California and take it 233 miles to Los Angeles. They had to sell the idea to the voters and raise the money to actually do a thing that most people said was impossible at the outset. But that's what he set himself to do.
And how long did the project take?
Construction began in 1907, and it was completed in 1913. The water actually reached the San Fernando Valley. Now, it took a little while to connect the pipes so that the first glass of water that was enjoyed by a Los Angeles citizen that had come from the Owens Valley wasn't tasted out of a tap, other than for ceremonial purposes.
We're speaking with Les Standiford on the Book Report. Looking ahead, then, can you describe the tragic dam disaster of 1928?
Mulholland, the flow of the Owens River kept Los Angeles developing. Over a million people by the 20s. But Mulholland, it had also been sabotaged over time, and there were seasonal divergences in the flow, even from the Sierra snowpack. Mulholland built a series of impoundment reservoirs to store water to guard against any future calamities. One of these was the St. Francis Dam, and built in the above the Santa Clarita Valley, above Saugus and Newhall, over the pass, just over the pass from Los Angeles proper, about 35 miles away, 40 miles away. And one night, 2 years after that dam was completed, it gave way. The resulting flood washed all the way to 60 miles, all the way to the Pacific Ocean, washing out bridges and roads, everything in its path, and killing about 600 people. It's the worst civil engineering disaster in California history, and second only to the San Francisco earthquake and flood in the magnitude and lives lost and damage. And Mulholland was not only personally devastated, he was 73 at that, almost 73 at the time. Also, it meant the end of his career, because he'd personally overseen the construction of that dam. Now, and the coroner's inquest, at one point he was questioned as to whether or not he thought there was human error involved, and he stopped the attorney short and said, "Look, if you're trying to find out if there was an individual to blame for this, then I'm the individual. Put all the blame on me. I built the dam. It was my fault." Well, the coroner's inquest finally determined that it was no one's fault, that no one could have prevented the disaster, and that he was not responsible.
Les, this book was so rich in detail. How long did you work on it before you even started putting pen to paper?
Two and a half years, I'd say.
You know, as you're the head of the creative writing program, what advice would you give someone who wants to write a book about a historical figure?
Well, given the effort that's involved, you need to make sure that it's a historical figure that you think merits all the time and trouble. Although the fact is that many of the subjects I've written about, Carnegie, for instance, have had doorstopper biography as written about them, 1,000-page tomes, when there were a couple of them in existence when I wrote Meet You in Hell. I had focused in on one part, what I thought was an essential part of Carnegie's career and his relationship with Henry Clay Frick and the Homestead Steel Strike of 1892, because I thought that individual episode of his life had never been given proper treatment. In the same way, I feel that Mulholland's achievement and effort has been overshadowed by contemporary, well, there have been a number of books focusing on contemporary water politics, but because they're concerned more with what should have happened than what did happen. And I wanted to hark back to a time when a person like Mulholland could conceive of an impossible project and bring it in, not only on time, but under budget. That's quite a, to me, quite an example to view in our day and age.
Any final thoughts on Mulholland?
If he were alive today, I would ask him one question. It's, Mr. Mulholland, we're running out of water in California again. What do you think we should do?
Les, thank you so much for joining me today. I have to say, I love the book, Water to the Angels. It makes it all come alive. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye-bye.